Penguin Random House Audio presents Mingling with the Enemy, a social survival guide for our divided era. This is the author, Jean Martinet. Preface: Fear and Loathing at the Dinner Table. I was hosting a dinner party in January of 2018 and had just finished serving the stew and opening the wine when one of my guests asked me what I was working on. I told him my book title, Mingling with the Enemy. He clapped his hands in glee. "That's going to be a winner," he said. "That's a book we Democrats really need." Then I explained I was writing it for both a conservative and liberal audience. He looked confused, and then his face fell. "What? That's a terrible idea. You can't do that," he said. He may have been right. This has been the hardest book I have ever written. Especially since the 2016 election, many Americans regard each other as the enemy, based on how they voted or how they feel about one or more of the issues. To write a book that basically tells people, no matter what anyone says to you, no matter how wrong you think they are, you must always behave well in social situations, was a formidable task. I don't pretend to be a political expert. My field of expertise is social mores, social interaction, and the art of conversation. I wrote this book because the country's growing divisiveness is seeping into our social lives and into all our conversations. Politics are now omnipresent, affecting our ability to enjoy our leisure time the way we used to. I don't want to either encourage or discourage people from talking politics. What I would like is for people of different parties to be able to talk to each other, period, to commune, to mingle, to conduct business together, without everything always about to escalate into a major battle. This is primarily a survival guide to teach you how to navigate our relatively new social terrain. It's for when you are having a casual conversation and suddenly feel you are being attacked. It's to give you practical strategies when things suddenly blow up in your face. Or when you really feel as though you must confront someone about something they've said, even though you know your son's wedding reception is not the place to do it. It's a blueprint for helping you find ways to talk at social events without throwing a fit, for helping you know what to do when you are suddenly pulled into a fight you'd rather not be in. We can't afford to jettison courtesy, kindness, and good manners. Neither should we decide never to socialize with anyone who disagrees with us. What good is it if we never share a cocktail or join a video chat with anyone who's ever voted on the other side? If we never break bread with someone who we feel is wrong? Politics are infecting our social lives in a way I don't think they should, and in a way that only divides us further. I'm a Democrat living in Manhattan, but I have friends and relatives I dearly love who are Republicans. There is an underlying tension between us, a tension that sometimes affects our relationships, a tension that is part of the permanent landscape we all now live in. While this book was written before the outbreak of COVID-19, the pandemic has only amplified this tension. It's very easy, even deeply satisfying sometimes, to adopt a take no prisoners, they're all insane attitude during a conversation. We have all done this at some point or another. Indeed, righteous indignation has become our feel-good drug of choice. While I believe that attitude can be valid in the political arena, when people are out there fighting for public policy, when we sit down to socialize, the weapons, though not necessarily your opinions, should be left at the door. And when the other person has not left theirs at the door, at least you need to be armed with the proper defenses. I spent months trying to figure out how to write this book and wondering whether I even should. My fear was that I would offend people by writing it wrong, that I would be too partisan in my point of view, that maybe there really is no good solution to that heart-stopping moment when you are standing at a party talking to someone you don't know, and that person suddenly says to you, "Don't tell me you're one of those stupid people who voted for blank." I want to emphasize that this advice, these techniques and strategies and lines, are not for use when the purpose of the get-together is to try to rectify local problems on your street or in your town or city, or for any time when serious debate is important or necessary for our democracy or for the betterment of our communities. This book is about your social life. The term mingling refers mostly to those times when you are meeting or mixing with a lot of people, often ones you don't know. I'm also not suggesting that we never discuss politics at parties. This is a guide to instruct us how to not fight about politics at parties. We need to remaster the art of mingling for today's social climate. Most important, when it comes to facing the enemy, we need to remember the old adage from Franklin Roosevelt, that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Wait, Franklin Roosevelt? Wasn't he that socialist Democrat who created the pro-regulation, anti-economic growth policies that have completely ruined our country? Or was he the last president we had who was truly looking out for working people and believed that everyone should have a support net for when times get tough? It is my hope that mingling with the enemy will help people who hold such opposing points of view raise a glass together and have an engaging conversation, even if one of them is drinking Budweiser and the other is drinking organic kombucha. Introduction. Socializing in the powder keg era. It can happen before you even realize you're in danger. You're at a work-related cocktail party. For once, everything is going swimmingly. You've had fun conversations with several people, a couple of whom might actually benefit your career. You've even met someone you didn't know from your own office who could end up being a friend. You made a lunch date with him for next week. You've had two glasses of wine, you're feeling great, and your shoes don't even hurt. You're standing with three other guests, one a potential client, who have just laughed loudly at one of your favorite restaurant jokes. Who says large parties are so daunting? You think happily to yourself. And that's when it happens. Speaking of Italian food, says the woman standing across from you, was that a statue of Columbus I saw in the park I passed on my way here? Not sure, you say, still inwardly basking in the success of your joke. Another woman in the group speaks up. Oh yes, it is Columbus, she says, by a 19th century Italian sculptor. There's been a lot of recent controversy about it in the liberal media, which I think is utterly ridiculous. Everyone freezes. It's as though someone has just pulled out a gun. People dart furtive looks at each other. Uh-oh. Why? Why do you think that's so ridiculous? Says the woman across from you, bristling. Columbus enslaved every native he ever came across. He certainly shouldn't be celebrated. Then the man next to you, the potential client, jumps in. Never mind Columbus. At least that was the 15th century. What about the statues commemorating slave owners that are still standing all over the South? He snaps. And you're off. Welcome to mingling in the powder keg era, where everything's always about to blow sky high. No subject is safe now. Weather leads to climate change. Sports leads to NFLers' knee protests. Asking someone how they are feeling can easily propel the conversation into a dispute on healthcare. Talking about what your daughter is wearing to prom can become an uncomfortable debate about the Me Too movement. A perfectly innocent chat about chocolate cake might take a bad turn, and before you know it, you find yourself fighting about genetically altered foods. Even talking about someone's children or grandchildren isn't completely innocuous. In a matter of minutes, you can be embroiled in an unforeseen argument about the controversial anti-vaccine movement or the public education system. We have all gotten very issue-y and always seem to be a trigger word or two away from losing our tempers. Of course, many would say this is as it should be, that it's about time people started caring more about the problems of the world, especially now that there's so much at stake. But while the image of powerful world leaders with their fingers on the proverbial button is a terrifying one, the truth is we all have our own fingers on the button these days. A couple of decades ago, we weren't walking on eggshells all the time. Now, the slightest wrong step, and we are all yelling at each other or withdrawing into awkward silences. It's not that there haven't always been combustible topics. It just seems as though now almost everything has become a combustible topic. It's no secret that our country is more politically divided than it has been since the Civil War. According to a 2016 Pew Research study, 81% of Democrats have an unfavorable opinion of the Republican Party. The exact same percentage of Republicans feel that way about the Democratic Party. Moreover, 55% of Democrats say the Republican Party makes them afraid, while 49% of Republicans say the same about the Democrats.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?